Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Welcome back to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe. I want to talk now how to win this war. We are ultimately in a war which Russia has decided to wage against us. We cannot choose that. They have decided to attack in 14, in 22, and again, they are striking in the energy infrastructure. They are striking economically. They are politically trying to intervene in the European elections and in the American elections, and we are in the defensive. We have to think how to win it. It's very important. My whole analysis is based on how we won the Cold War. The Cold War was the ultimate confrontation with the Soviet Russian Empire. Of course, it was an ideological empire. Of course, it was very much a Russian nationalistic empire. And they have also won the Second World War, obviously, together with the Western powers. Ultimately, it was the Western powers. I've talked a lot about it already. And that was decisive. But they have, of course, occupied afterwards half of Europe. And we had this Cold War, this global confrontation. And to win now the confrontation with the successor state of the Soviet Union, with the Russian Federation under Putin, we have to be clear how we won it. We won it basically with one very decisive factor. We have economically won. We have outperformed them, and we put the conditions into place which led to the bankruptcy of the Soviet Union. It is the bankruptcy of the Soviet Union, the basic economic collapse, which was the decisive factor. They didn't give up by themselves. They didn't elect Gorbachev just to make peace. No, it was the economic decline which led to all the changes, which is now famously known as Glasnost and Perestroika. So again, and how we achieved that? It was a mix of measures, as always, and we need to apply the same mix of measures. And this must be in all European and global, in all the countries of the free world, similar mechanisms. But basically, it's important to do that in the United States. So, first of all, let me understand. It was the rearmament of Europe, the nuclear rearmament, the Star Wars of Ronald Reagan, the massive deterrence effort and the rearmament which was led under the first Reagan administration, which was decisively to put the Soviets in a tailspin. This was absolutely important. So we need to rearm in Europe, in the West. We need nuclear rearmament. Here's the logic. We need a new arms race with Putin, and we need to wage that on all levels. Nuclear, conventional, in Europe, in the space. We need to down-compete the Soviet Union successor state, the Russian Federation. Point number one, very clear. Point number two, it's also very clear. We need to win the energy war. The reason why the Soviet Union collapsed economically was the massive spending on the new arms race, but obviously as well the loss of revenues in the energy sector. I will come back in a moment why that happened. But this is important. We need to raise our own domestic production capabilities in all aspects. That means nuclear, coal, that means water, that means solar, that means winds, that means biomass. And here we need to produce domestic energy as much as we can. Of course, all the ideological ballast of nuclear, wind, biomass. No, we need simply to see what is there in our ground, what we can use in our air atmosphere, and we have to use it. It's a patriotic duty of every European. And of course, we need to build coalition with the countries which are also producers of energy, and that's important. We must bring the energy price below the Russian production costs. This is how we won the Cold War, because why? Especially the Saudi Arabia was absolutely vital, because they have decreased the costs of energy to such a low level of $10 that the Soviet Union basically economically collapsed. Thank you very much, Saudi Arabia, our secret ally in the Cold War. Why they did it? Not because of love of the West or any kind of happiness to have less revenues, but because they were so angry about the Soviet Union attacking Afghanistan. And here comes the double whammy again. The fourth point is, of course, the Soviet Union losing this war in Afghanistan. And here the parallel is Ukraine. Ukraine obviously must be very costly for Russia, and it must be seen that, you know, the whole world is in solidarity with Ukraine as it was with Afghanistan. This is important. So here we have to have the parallel between Afghanistan and Ukraine, and it has to lead to a massive decrease of the energy global market and the cost there, because this is one way to deprive Putin of his revenues. And obviously we must ban gas, nuclear, coal, oil, everywhere. Everything from Russia must be banned. There must be no imports, no revenues for Russia from the energy sector. And that's very important. And of course, we had also, and one of the reasons we won the Cold War, beyond the internal inconsistency of the Soviet Union, but there is many of them as well in Russia. We, of course, won the Cold War. Why? Because the Chinese were very angry on the Russians for many reasons, from the Czechoslovak invasion to other ideological differences. And they turned away from Russia and they came closer to us. It's lesser known, but in the 1980s, China was a very clear ally of the West. Secret ally, clear ally, whatever. But you have to see that this is important. We have to draw China away from Russia. And there is already signs that's happening. And it's the best strategy we can do. And of course, we can do it in a double strategy with the Chinese. Threaten them our attention and integrate them economically. Yeah? They have many, many inconsistencies and issues with the Uyghurs and others in China. And we can show them that we are absolutely able to work with the minorities in China if they are not playing along. And we can also threaten or incentivize them to join the free world more and more. It's not so easy. It was not easy in 79. It was not easy when Nixon and Kissinger opened China, but it's necessary to draw China away from the Russian enemy, because ultimately Russia is the main enemy, and that must be also clear in the European elections, in the American elections, in all elections. We have to focus on Russia. It's the main enemy with tanks in Ukraine. It's the one who is fighting us, and we have to show that to China, that the consequences of staying with Russia are very bad, with being very hard on Iran. Iran doesn't have nuclear power and it should never obtain it. And of course, Iran must get the hammering we cannot give to Russia. So we must be in enormous amounts much stricter to this terror regime in Iran. And not just economic sanctions, but also military strikes. This is very, very important. Russia will not defend Iran nuclearly. That will not happen. So Russia must get the strikes, Iran must get the strikes that Russia deserves. And so all the supplies of Iran are justification enough, and all this horror regime and all the killing and murder. So regime change in Iran must be one of our strategic efforts in the coming years to make sure that Russia is losing, because then the supplies via Iran are cut, and of course also they will get the message in China. And of course the next point is that we massively support the disintegration of Russia. This is very important, and that's what I'm also calling already on this podcast and in many other occasions since a long time. So this is how we win, and of course by making sure that Ukraine is winning. So Ukraine needs all the weapons, Ukraine needs all the supports, and we must also show that Ukraine joins the European Union and NATO and is moving forward consistently. So I have now drafted about 15 demands ahead of the European elections, how we can move in that direction. I will also explain you them, but the basic concept is again, we try to achieve more unity in the European Union. We make sure that the Soviet Union is, I call it Soviet Union, Russia is losing this war in Ukraine, and of course Russia is disintegrating, and then we work for their disunity as our enemy. And I have made about 15 points, which I make it very clear how that translate then, for example, for the Austrian agenda. Yeah? It's very clear from the Austrian perspective, because things should be concrete. And when we want to have Russia, that Russia loses that war, that Ukraine wins it, we in Austria, because I'm from Austria and I'm focusing now very much on that one, but it's basically a European reform agenda. But I wanted to make clear, you understand how we won the Cold War, how we win it again, and then in concrete step what it means. First of all, yeah, the first point I want to make here. We need a strategic unity of Europe. The US NATO member, everybody in NATO, yes, Austria, yes, Malta, yes, Ireland, yes, Cyprus, yes, Ukraine. This is very important, more unity of Europe in that respect. And the opening of the trade politics, because we need, of course, you know, the EU as a trade project to be successful, to have a free trade agreement with the United States of America and with Mercosur, Australia, ASEAN, and basically with all who are on our side. And we must dismantle the BRICS, obviously. That's important. And we need more unity globally, more openness globally. And we need also the EU enlargement politics. That means that the Western Balkans, everybody but Serbia, Ukraine, Georgia and Moldova, and of course the United Kingdom, all in the European Union. Then we need the end of all energy import in the European Union from Russia by the end of 2024. This is very important. And we need also to say very clearly that we build all our nuclear power, all our hydro, all our solar, all our wind, that we must do. This is very important to have our domestic resources in coal, in every aspect, less environmental focus, more strategic focus. This is very important that we do our patriotic duty and lift our own energy resources and also flood the market with energy and decrease the energy costs in the world, the oil price and the energy the gas price and every of these energy prices, because this is the way to deprive Putin of his revenues. Get the price down, build a coalition with Saudi Arabia, flood the market. It must be a new oil glut. It must be an energy price very much below the Russian production prices. This is the way for the collapse of Russia, and this is what we want. Then, of course, the unity of Europe. I made it very clear, land Schengen for Romania and Bulgaria. Good that the air Schengen has been achieved, but we should not do this populist kind of internal infights, as the Austrians have done. We should really focus on unity. This helps the pro-European parties, and this decreases the success of the influence of Russia. The permanent opening of the labor markets in the European Union for all, from Ukraine, from the Balkans, very important, and especially better integration of the Ukrainians and Albanians in the European Union. I focus on these two population groups because they are most under-supported and discriminated in the European Union right now. And they are the very pro-American and pro-European minorities and migration groups and European groups. And we should simply have the opening of for the European labor market for all Europeans. That's very good. Then we need also the financial fundament, of course, for the reconstruction of Ukraine, for the integration, for the liberation, for the victory. And that's why I call for 2,000 billion of new euro debts, euro bonds, similar like we did in the recovery fund. That's very important to fund as well the infrastructure in Eastern Europe, in the Balkans, in energy, water, electricity. This is very important, and this is also absolutely necessary. And this is also the euro for everybody from Bulgaria, Romania, and as well for Ukraine. I made it clear. That's very important. And also the nuclear rearmament of Europe with US nuclear weapons. This will send shockwaves towards the Russians. and we need nuclear weapons from Finland to Bulgaria on F-35s, which we also should build, buy everybody F-35 and rearm Europe massively. And of course, a clear offer to the United Kingdom for the return to the European Union in 2029, and a break with Russia, basically send the diplomats home, and then a purge of the Putinistas in the European institutions, as the logic is, more Europe is the answer to the Russian war, and more unity of Europe is decisive to win this war, and we need a strong, united and enlarged European Union of 37 members, and we can win that in strategic manner that way, and all this Austrian kind of xenophobic pro-Russianism and rejection of reform and anti-Western populism and anti-scientific kind of sentiment must be coming to an end. That's the Austrian version of all of it. But see the logic, you know, what I said before, the reasons why the Soviet Union broke up. Here see the kind of connection, yeah? The Cold War we won because we could decrease the energy prices. We could build an alliance with Saudi Arabia and with China. A complicated one, but it worked very well to decrease the energy prices and to win the war in Afghanistan. And the Soviet Union was very much collapsing because of that. So we need to be better coalition building globally by more openness, by building the free trade agreements. Also give China this CHAI agreement. Also give the Gulf states this free trade agreement. And flood the energy market by massive energy investments into Eastern Europe, in the world, from hydrogen, from coal, and end this kind of destructive ideological infighting between all these energy sources. Yeah? The one loves nuclear, the next hates coal, and then nobody wants wind because it needs a grid. Get a grip, really. Everybody must do his and her duty to produce as much patriotic energy as there is possible. So every house must have a solar roof. Every village must have a wind farm. Every country must use nuclear. Every river must be dammed. Every coal in Europe must be burned. Yeah, and of course, all in environmental safe and reasonable standards. Yes, but the question is, how much capacity can we add? And of course, we need to build the grid to get it going. And of course, it's much better to produce our own energy in Europe. The Americans achieved American energy independence and are exporting energy now to us in this crisis, and we have not achieved it. Actually, we failed. Yeah, but it's also a kind of sustainability factor, yeah, to produce your own energy, a question of economics and a question of strategic security and of patriotism. So that's absolutely important. And of course, let's win the energy war, but let's win the real war as well. So for this, Ukraine needs all the weapons Austria can send, and even Austria, even Malta can send. And we shouldn't hide in whatever kind of neutrality or other reasons of thriftiness or of fear of the default of Russia, because that must ultimately be our aim. Because the reason why we won in the Cold War is clear. I've outlined it here now, from the energy to the Afghanistan war to the coalition building, and of course the internal inconsistencies of the Soviet Union and the economic failures. But, you know, they came back, they stroke back in the, basically I call it the second civil war in Russia from 1990 to 94 or 96, ultimately 99, when Putin unfortunately gained power. And to all this debate, if we could have won this war, I've talked a lot about it. Yeah. It is unrealistic that we really won. It was historically a great opportunity that we have basically liberated a half of Eastern Europe and then later Ukraine. And all this breakup was an enormous historic coincidence. And we were very lucky, but we lost that internal confrontation in Russia. And if we would have caved in and given up all these countries again to them, then we would also have lost. So at least we saved 100 million Eastern Europeans, 150 all over, and so many people from the ex-Soviet Union could escape the grip of Moscow. And now the next stage is logically the escape of so many minorities inside Russia from the Moscow yoke. The same will be repeated. But for that, we need to build the conditions. and we need to decouple completely from the Russian economy. We make sure that the energy price in the world is falling, and oil and gas and every aspect of energy, and that we produce much more, and that we are much more united, and we are much more open, and we build coalition in the world, and we really manage this war much better than in the first 2 years, because this whole hesitations and complications, lack of deliverance, lack of ammunition, lack of progress in the European Union and openness has just led to this war to take already for 2 years. How long anybody wants to have this war? That's my question. And I have made many times already the peace proposal. What we can do is obviously to end the fighting in Ukraine, is to integrate Ukraine in NATO and to make nuclear armament of Ukraine like we did it for Western Germany, because Ukraine is the Western Germany of our days. Yeah? And of course, then not everybody, every part of Ukraine will be liberated, but the free part of Ukraine, 90% will be in NATO, the European Union and the Euro, and with nuclear weapons and American troops, like it was in Western Germany. And that will be the decisive defeat of Russia, because they can claim to keep some parts of it. But, you know, ultimately it will be nuclear weapons at the Russian border, and it will be as well Ukraine in NATO. And this will lead to the fall of Putin and to the disintegration of Russia. And of course, this is what we want and we should approach. And this is the better way. And therefore, everybody can contribute. The Ukrainians with their warriors, and we with our weapons, and the European industry with the supply, and the European taxpayer with funding Ukraine, and every person and every company with getting energy independent. This is a huge task. This has to be done. And this is the way we won the Cold War, and we will win again. And just to make a case, which I commented also on my Twitter feed, we will win. And there is no doubt. Western democracies always won the First World War, the Second World War, the Cold War, the Balkan Wars, and now the war in Ukraine. Yes, you can make the case for some wars in the Middle East, which the West didn't win. And the questionable objectives of waging them is another topic. But the major confrontation about European freedom, the West has always won. And I mentioned the last five of them, or it's the fifth time America has to help us against European, whatever, Eurasian autocracies. And that is the question. And that's why I call the Russian the Huns of today. Nothing against the Huns, but he is really in the line of the past. And we know how to win against the Soviet Union, but we have to have the clear analysis, and we have to have the clarity, and then we have to break it down, what it means. Yeah, and then we have to say yes to European nuclear, to European coal, to European water, to European hydropower and every biomass, obviously. And then we have to say yes to Romania and Schengen and to NATO membership for Austria and to Ukraine in the EU, because it's very logically when you discuss it like this. And then we have to be saying also yes to European nuclear weapons, American nuclear weapons. Nothing against European nuclear weapons, but they are not as many and they are not so easily deployable. And we are much too divided, unfortunately. So it's much easier to ask for more American nuclear weapons in Europe, from Poland, Finland to Romania, Ukraine. Yes, and then I think I was very clear. This is so simple, so easy, but we're just a little bit stuck in Europe. And I hope the European election will be a wake-up call to get this done. And then hopefully we will have also a pro-European American president. And then in the meantime, after we have this very big 60 billion package now, and hopefully Europe will add more supplies, then we will be able as well to win this war physically. The best version, obviously, is to win it completely and to drive the Russians out of Ukraine and Crimea. And let's always be optimistic. Maybe that's anyhow happening now this year, 2024. But as I predicted it since 2 years and it's not happening, so I'm a bit careful and I wait better what will be really happening. But what we can do in the meantime is, of course, produce energy. We can be more united in Europe. We can work with the Russian opposition and regional separatist leaders, as I do. and we can work towards ideological victory, which should be the fundament for the full victory to come. And that would be then, of course, the enlargement of the European Union and the usage of OECD to compete against OPEC and driving down the global energy market to unprecedented lows to bring down the regime of Putin and hopefully Russia, because we in Europe, we will never have peace as long as Russia exists. And so we always have to have a massive American military presence to be able to defend us from Russia, which is basically what NATO is about. And now winning, I think, should be our new war aim and not just not losing, because that's a bit too meager as an aim. And I have also done a lot of activities now recently on my YouTube page. You are very welcome to watch that in many languages. And I'm very active on Twitter. And I call to purge the Putinists out of our institutions. And please support Pax Europiana by supporting rearmament of Europe and also a clear future direction in form of more unity of the European Union joining NATO and more integration of more countries into the European Union from Kosovo to Ukraine. And let me stop with a call for recognition of Srebrenica as genocide and for the recognition of Kosovo and for Ukraine to recognize Kosovo and for more unity of all Europeans in the question of Kosovo joining the Council of Europe and Ukraine joining NATO together with Kosovo and Bosnia, and that Serbia must be isolated until Serbia joins the free world. And that will be my concluding statement. And that's also more or less the topic of my press conferences now during the European elections. And I will then similar go to the direction of establishing a reform program for Austria during the summer months and also release this on this podcast. Thanks a lot for listening and more to come. And please, whatever you do, support Ukraine's victory, liberation and the unity of the West and the victory of the free world against Russian autocracy. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.